Welcome to a new edition of Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Game Miz with a Z Conduct and on Facebook as well. And wow, it's been hockey weather.
It is hockey weather and it's nice.
It's a bit chilly out. Man, that walk, you were telling me about your walk back to the car after the game on Saturday. Brr.
Yeah, yeah. It was like that not rain, but it's not raining. It's kind of that like sprinkles. I don't know what you're
talking about. And
cold. It was horrible. And windy, because you know it's on the water.
Yes, and it was very windy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so hopefully we'll warm up a little bit. I mean, I'm okay if like we have highs in the low 70s and lows in the mid 60s, but let's not do low 50s.
With wind and rain.
In November.
Yeah, I don't want to.
I mean, come on. But anyway, so we're going to jump in with our guest this week, Zach Blobner. Hey, Zach, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, doing great. Just enjoying a little bit chillier weather as far as Tampa's concerned, but nothing like a lot of northern cities are feeling right now.
Yeah, I know. We were just complaining about it, you know, us in Florida. We're like, oh, it's the low 50s at night and low 70s during the day. I don't mind the low 70s during the day. It's just that nighttime, it's like, woo, it's a little bone-chillingly cold. But then I think of places like, you know, Winnipeg and stuff where it's like negative 12.
Well, whenever you walk into Amalie Arena and you actually get a little bit warmer,
yeah,
it's usually a sign that the seasons are changing on you a little bit.
Yeah, that is so true. All right, so I wasn't able to be at the game on Saturday, and I was really upset about it. My dad was in town, but I know, Dory, you were there, and so why don't you get into the first question for Zach?
All right, Zach. Well, listen, I do want to talk to you about the game itself, but Saturday's game was the Hockey Fight Cancer game, and the team paid homage to Tom Miracle, who is the longtime ice operations manager who lost his battle with cancer earlier this month. And the Lightning and WDAE honored Steve Dumig by renaming the station suite the Dumig Den. You were there. Can you tell us about that experience and just, you know, how much Steve Dumig is missed overall in this area?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, for me, Steve was one of the main reasons I got into sports radio. And I grew up in the Brandon Riverview area. So really one of the first voices that I really heard when it came to sports radio. So personal tie in there just from my childhood growing up. And I'm from Pittsburgh originally, so I already had hockey in my background. But I feel like being in the Tampa area, I was able to talk hockey more with my friends. And even all the way up until college, like a lot of my friends knew hockey because of what, you know, Dumig educated them on when it came to the game. So it became so much more normalized. And I still tell people today, I'm like, I mean, if you really think about it, the fact that hockey's as big as it is in Tampa, Florida, it's insane. Like it doesn't make sense. It shouldn't be that way. And I think one of the reasons, obviously the Stanley Cup helped, but one of the reasons it is such a big deal is because of a guy like Steve Dumig, the big dog, you know, barking about it and really going above and beyond, though, not to just like talk about what's happening on the ice, but to explain it to people that didn't know the game and help them work through it and just kind of build it here locally. And, you know, anybody from Phil Esposito to any of the old coaches or players will tell you that he was a big reason that it was able to be built up to what it was here in the area. So Steve obviously had a big tie into hockey and to my personal life. And then, unfortunately, you know, you get to the point where he is battling cancer and it ultimately takes his life. But we're able to kind of immortalize him in Amalie Arena and in Section 108 with the Dumig Den. And it was emotional. I mean, I not to kind of go too far behind the scenes, but, you know, his family members were there. A lot of the DAE people were there. And it would have been cool just to have that night during that game. But the fact that once they unveiled the plaque with his name and memory on it in the Den, like 20, 30 seconds after, the goal was scored to tie the game against the Jets. So it was one of those like goosebump chilling moments where you're just like, coincidences definitely happen in life, but those types of things, like there's got to be something greater at work just to kind of see it play out the way it did. So again, a goal scored like right after they unveiled it. And you know, now we'll forever have the Dumig Den. And whenever we talk Tampa Bay Lightning hockey or whenever we're at Amalie Arena, there's going to be a little piece. There's already going to be a little piece of Steve, but now we have it actually physically there where you can go see it. So pretty cool thing. And yeah, I'm excited to watch more games, not just this year, but for a long time in the Dumig Den.
Yeah, and the one thing about Steve, when CT and I first started 6 years ago, he was very like encouraging to us. And he always felt like when nobody else was talking hockey in Tampa Bay, he didn't mind talking hockey. He loved it. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, we talk about how much he taught people Lightning, but he would cover the sport so passionately and the Lightning so passionately. And when there was other hot stove topics kind of in the Bay Area going on, he was like, listen, this is what we need to talk about because this is a good team and a good organization. And I'm going to, you know, keep it focused on here. Of course he went into hot stove topics, but mm-hmm. I mean, he really stuck to his guns. And I think when other people started kind of swaying a little bit or going in a different direction, he held on to that, you know, he was a hockey type of guy. So definitely missed here. Like I said, CT and I, you know, were in the building with him for a while and really a very different guy off the ice or off the
off
radio.
Off the ice.
Off the ice. Off the radio than he is on the internet. But so we want to talk to you about something that some of our various other guests so far, Erlinson and Burns and Corey Long, they are all kind of giving us their little different timelines. But they all said at one point or another, the Lightning would start clicking after the Sweden trip. Now, we could make a case that it happened while they were in Stockholm. But what are your thoughts on the slow start and how they've looked so far this month?
Yeah, it's been very different, right? Like, that's the big word, is different compared to last year. And some of the seasons we've been accustomed to with this team, knowing the talent that's on it. I'm kind of in that camp too, of not really being concerned early on, regardless of the fact.
Right.
I think one of the things I do is I try to interact with fans and of the team as much as possible, because I'm definitely a fan of the team as well. And I'm always interested to see the pulse of the actual fan base. And one of the fans I was talking with before the trip to Sweden was like, this is really going to set the tone. Like, this is going to really set their season up. And I'm like, I mean, this is a unique trip. I don't know how much stock you can put in them going mm-hmm. overseas for a week. They got there like 4 days, 5 days early. Then they play two games and they come back. They're off for a few more days and they get back to normalcy. It's really hard to kind of get a feel for how much that's going to impact them heading forward. But yeah, it sounded like it was a bonding trip and that something in that Sweden water was able to get them right. Apparently, you know, time will tell. The first game back against the Rangers, beautiful. And this is after they sweep Buffalo over there. But they look great against the Rangers. Then they come out against the Jets, and it's a very odd game. Kind of felt more like some of the other games we've seen this season as opposed to the three that preceded it. So I'm still not exactly ready to say that they're clicking, the chemistry's in the right place. One of my favorite things so far this year, and one of the guys that I think is really going to make a difference on this team and has, in a good way, is Kevin Shattenkirk. Mm. And he was talking about it, I think like a month and a half ago, how it was after one of the losses up north, and he was like, this team has to realize – they aren't the 2018 team. Like, right. They aren't last year's team.
Right.
And it's interesting to hear a guy like that say it, who's, you know, obviously been around the league. He's experienced some highs and some lows. And that's why he's, you know, come to play in Tampa to hopefully win a cup. And you know, maybe he took a little bit of a discount, obviously, on the financial side of things to be here. But for him, who wasn't here last year, to be like, I'm in this locker room around these guys, and like basically say flat out, they're still dwelling on last season. Whether it's the playoff or the regular season or whatever it is, like, he says it to the media and he says it out loud. So for him to say that before the Sweden trip, and then for them to play well in Sweden, you know, and it looks like they're kind of starting to figure it out a little bit more, you hope that that's something that they can get past. And I believe that they can and that they can move forward. But honestly, like, this is the type of season at least you want them to have as far as building it up as they go. We saw what happened last year when they were just dominant. They didn't face adversity. And then right. by the time they did, it was in the playoffs and it was too late. And look, I'm never going to be that guy that's like, losing games is good, because I don't think it is. Like, you want to win. It does. You want to win every game that you play. With that being said, from the outside looking in, like, every great story does have adversity in it. And most champions at one point or another do have to face it. There's the exception to the rule every once in a while. Like, there's no reason that the Lightning can't be the most dominant team in the league and win a cup. Like, that's not a possibility. But more likely than not, you need to face some things that the Lightning are facing right now and finding themselves and getting things going the right way. And I think that ultimately this will benefit them down the road. As far as back to the original question of like when I think it'll all click, I'm hoping right when they get to the playoffs. Now you got to get there, obviously, but I'm hoping that's when it does.
We're talking to Zach Blaubern of WDAE. Now, Zach, the other thing that I'd be remiss not to bring up is you did allude to the fact that they went 4 to 5 days early to Sweden and then only played 2 games, had to wait a little bit. They are behind games played in their division, aside from, obviously, Buffalo. So, I mean, it's kind of, I see people like, oh, you know, really, they're really on Twitter concerned about the points. And I'm like, yeah, but we're also talking about less games played by, like, I think it's three or four games, depending on what team it is. So, kind of like, you know.
So just dumb, too. Like, and I hate to be that guy that complains because I don't know if other fans feel this way about their teams and their cities and stuff. But this schedule has just been crazy since day one.
Yeah. It's wild. They've only played how many games at home? Like 6?
Yeah, well, they played the first one, then they were gone for what felt like forever. Then they came back, and they went up north, and then they went over to Sweden, right. And then they had a bunch of days off. Like, it's just the way it's set up, at least for the first few months, is crazy. And that, back to the last question, too, like, how can you expect a team to really get in rhythm with that type of scheduling, that type of travel? I mean, if it's 1 week here and there that's kind of off and it's later down the road, fine. But this first, you know, 2-3 months or whatever it's been in the season, it's been so weird scheduling-wise.
Yeah, if I can't get into a rhythm, how am I expecting them to get in a rhythm when they're the ones actually playing? It's crazy.
All right, so let's talk about the Rangers game for a quick second because the offense was ridiculous. I mean, they were just explosive. I don't know, you know, what up. But 5 of the 9 goals were on the power play, and they racked up 17 assists in that game, which was a new club record. And they outshot the Rangers 45-23, which I thought was really impressive, the amount that, you know, we're so used to seeing them kind of I don't want to say underperform in the shots category, but we've seen a lot of times where in the past where, you know, they're not taking as many shots. We're seeing them take more and more shots. And last Thursday night, it just seemed like everything was going in. Anything they shot towards the net was like finding the back of it.
Yeah, and as much as I want to be like they were just destroying the Rangers, the way that the Rangers were playing defense in that game was just so soft. I mean, I'm sitting there watching it, and they would end up with one guy chasing around the Lightning skaters around the outside and 4 dudes just in front of their goalie. It was the weirdest defense I'd ever seen. And that's, you know, when you play like that against a team that has so much talent like the Lightning, they're going to light you up.
Yeah.
There's no way you're not going to get, like, blown out and blown off the ice. And again, credit to the Lightning because they still got to score. They had to kill some penalties themselves. Like, there were certain other aspects of the game that didn't matter as much as what the Rangers were doing defensively. But with that being said, like, just in general, the Lightning were able to cross the blue line with ease. Like, nobody was checking them. And it's funny, and I know we'll get more to the Winnipeg game in a second here, but it wasn't that way at all.
Yeah.
Against the Jets. Like, the Jets, which is what we saw in the playoffs last year, whenever the Lightning players get to the blue line, if they're getting hit right there and they're going to have to try to dump it in more and try to score and get set up that way, they struggle a lot more when it comes to that. If you let the Lightning skaters, I don't care who it is. Obviously, we can talk about Kucherov and Stammer and some of the other better skaters and all. That's fine. Like, I don't care what player on the Lightning it is. If you let them just skate on in and get set up and do that with ease, you're going to have a lot of trouble stopping them from scoring. And that's what I felt like happened in the Rangers game. And they just never adjusted. I mean, by the time the Rangers even started to try to get, like, you know, I don't want to say dirty, but, you know, they were trying to pick fights and start stuff and go after some of the Lightning players. At that point, it was too late anyways. Mm-hmm. Like, they'd waited so long in the game. But, yeah, credit to the Lightning for still not only getting in there, but making sure that they got the shots in when they had the opportunities. And more than anything, in those scenarios, not taking their foot off the gas. Because I think we've seen the Lightning in the past have big periods and then kind of just like, we'll cruise to a win.
Right,
and
yeah.
Then it's like a one-goal game with 30 seconds left.
Right,
so
right.
So credit to them for keeping their foot on the gas. And hopefully there's more games like, maybe not 9-goal games, but more offensive games like that where they, for 3 periods, just like, you know what, we have this team and we're just going to keep pounding them.
Yeah, and as we speak, Steve Stamkos is the leading goal scorer on the team. But we're seeing goals coming from a lot of different players, and I really love that. I know some people just kind of, you know, they're happy with just Stammer and Kucherov, and I love seeing it get spread around. And one of the guys that I have been a champion for since basically he got here is Andre Palat. And the last season and a half or so, he's had some injury situation issue. I don't like saying issue. I just like saying situations. It kind of makes me feel better. Like saying issue is like, you know, oh, he's an injury kind of guy. But no, it's just situations where, mm-hmm. you know, these things happen. But he's got 6 goals already. He did score against the Rangers, because who didn't? But what does his presence mean back on the ice?
Yeah, I think with Palat, the team definitely does look different when he's in there. I don't know why collectively they look as different as they do with him in there. Like, obviously the line that he's going to play on in any given scenario gets a boost because he can score. He's not afraid to throw the gloves down, and he's a two-way player. He'll skate up and down the ice, you know, with anybody else from any team that he's going up against. So in the regards to the point of who he's on the ice with at that time, yeah, like he helps that line and that shift. But the team overall just seems like they got a little bit more tenacity to them, and like they're willing to skate up and down the ice and play alongside him. So for whatever reason, it must be – I've never heard him specifically pointed out as like a locker room, like, oh, yeah, he's – the guys love him. Not that he's not a lovable guy, but you don't hear that per se pop out a lot amongst the other players, whether it's good, bad, or in between. But for some reason, there must be something about his aura, his vibe when he's on the bench next to these guys, that they do tend to feed off him a little bit. It does seem that way. And we know, you know, Kucherov is a quiet dude. We know that, you know, Braden Point is a humble guy. Like, as far as energy goes, maybe there's just something about Palat when he's beside his teammates that they do tend to get up a little bit more. And again, that's as a team as a whole what they get when he's back in the lineup and when he's healthy. As far as, you know, his ability to score, I don't think it's ever been in question. But because he is inconsistent health-wise on and off the ice, we're not really able to see him string together enough games where you remember how good he is at scoring when he's healthy. It's kind of like, I don't know if this is a great comparison because it's off the top of my head, but staying in Tampa Bay sports, Kevin Kiermaier, we always want to see him hit more, but if the guy's not on the field when he comes in, it's hard to gauge. And I feel like we get that a lot with Palat, at least over the last couple seasons here. But seeing him back in, he's doing exactly what he's done every time he comes back from injury and steps back mm-hmm. into the lineup, where he gives the overall team a boost, and he is putting it in the back of the net. That shouldn't surprise anybody.
We are talking with Zach Blobner of WDAE. We are going to take a quick break and be back with more Game Misconduct in just a minute.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
We are back on Game Misconduct with our guest, Zach Blobner from WDAE. And I'm going to ask this question because he's quickly becoming one of my favorite players on the team. Patrick Maroon, he's settling in very nicely. He's got 4 goals on the season, 3 coming in 2 games. He looks really good playing with Gord. Do you think we'll continue to see them on the ice together? And what has, like, because you're around the locker room a lot more than we are, I feel like he's kind of one of those, and we've heard it from Brian Burns and a couple other guys, that his energy is really kind of lighthearted, fun, but clearly when he gets on the ice, he's producing.
Well, first of all, one of the funner names I've ever had in my life on a team that I cover. Like, Maroon, like, this is a fun name to say, you know? And I swear, and maybe y'all can back me up on this, his hair stays perfect under the helmet.
I know that CT likes his hair.
Like, he takes his helmet off, and it is pristine. And I'm like, I don't know what you're using, dude, but you need to hook me up because it stays perfect. And he's scoring goals, he's checking guys, and then he gets off the ice, and it's just perfect. So now that I got my man crush, you know, version of the ice talk out of the way, he's awesome, and he's, you know, a Stanley Cup champ, which is always nice too. No, he's been great, and it's funny, after the season last year that, you know, they lost obviously in the playoffs, and everybody's wondering, like, what can you do differently? What kind of players can you bring in? And I think immediately a lot of people were like, well, bring in somebody with cup experience. Like, bring in somebody who's fresh enough off it that they can kind of maybe, like, help bleed that into their teammates and what it takes to get to that next level, especially once you get to the playoffs. And he is every bit of what you expect him to be in that role. And I think that even though he's benefiting the team now and he's playing great with Gordon, I hope they keep those guys together and I hope they're able to keep doing what they do. I think we'll see the most benefit from a guy like Maroon when the team eventually does get to the postseason. And it's something that maybe the Lightning didn't expect to benefit as much from in the regular season. Like, oh yeah, he'll chip in here, he'll chip in there. But he's, you know, and we saw in Sweden that line in general was just so effective and so good.
Yeah, yeah.
And if that line can be good and Maroon can be good now, when again, you know, that's probably something they weren't expecting for a few months from now to really kick in, that's going to benefit the team moving forward. And it just kind of it gives the Lightning such an opportunity that even if some of the other players, their stars, are having off nights. I know Braden Point isn't moving as quickly to the top of the pecking order when it comes to assists and points as we would hope that he would, even coming off injury. But you're getting points from a guy like Patrick Maroon. It helps. It helps the overall product.
And he's a big body in front of that net.
Yeah, he is. I'm still not thrilled with the way that, you know, I think the Lightning need to get in front of the net. Obviously, you lose a guy like Callahan, who all he does is throw his body in front of it. Maroon, in my opinion, the problem with having only, like, one guy that's willing to get in front of the net is you need multiple bodies. I just mentioned how the Rangers game, they were overdoing it. They were throwing, like, three or four guys in front of the net, and at that point, you're just going to let the Lightning skate around you. Hopefully some of that tenacity, and obviously you can't replicate the size, but just as far as the grit and getting in front of the net, that's the kind of stuff that you hope bleeds into some of these other players, even the stars, because that's one of the defining things I think that they lack when it gets to the postseason.
Moving to the Winnipeg game, and I don't we're both like, who's gonna do this one here, which kind of was one of those games where the hockey gods, they were playing a little bit with the Lightning, I feel. I feel like that was just a game that was just, nothing seemed to go their way. It wasn't just, nothing was going very favorably for them. And I'm one of the people that think, I don't think the Lightning looked bad. I don't think they were playing bad. They were definitely keeping the shots tallying up. But the one thing that I did notice, and for those who don't know, the press box is way, way, way up there by the catwalk.
Yep.
And I tell people, you know where those, you know, the banners hang for the different teams? That's where the press box is. So when you're up there, you're looking down and you can see everything happening at once. And the one thing that really stood out to me was the speed of the Winnipeg Jets. And that's always traditionally been a Lightning thing. The Lightning are a fast, quick team. But, man, Winnipeg really, I mean, I don't want to, like, I'm trying to avoid the puns here. But, I mean, they were really quite quick out there. Aside from the weirdness of the game itself, which I want to talk to you about, and I think you know where I'm going with that one. What did you think of the Lightning's actual play on Saturday?
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I didn't think it was as bad as it maybe looked through the first 2.5 periods, or the majority of the game, I should say, when it comes to the scoreboard. I thought through the first two periods especially, there was a ton of opportunities where the puck was right in front of the net.
Yep.
Right? And you know, like, basic hockey rules, no matter what else is happening, you know, you obviously want to score. But rule number one is, if you can get the puck in front of the net, you've already won more than half the battle. And then it's a matter of, like, is your guy there? Can somebody get a deflection? Where's the goalie at? But just to be able to get the puck in front of the Jets net as much as they did, you know, and then it was just a matter of being unlucky. You know, those goals weren't going in. There was no player there on some of them, but they got the puck in front of the Jets often. It just didn't work out for them through the first two periods a lot.
Yeah, I think they hit the post a couple times in the first two periods. And listen, Hellebuck is a heck of a goalie. I mean, he was – it was – sometimes you just get that feeling like, uh-oh, this goalie is on tonight. And that dude was like – he was on. We're talking with Zach Blobner of WDAE. So let's talk about the weird thing that happened. And I think you were down in this – I think you were still in 108 at the time when the weird challenge happened, right? You weren't back up, were you, in the press box?
So I went up and down a couple
times.
Okay,
yeah, yeah.
I think I had just gotten back down to 108 when the challenge happened.
So it, as many people also don't know, you don't have sound in the press box. So we're not listening to anything. I actually listen to the Power Play channel, I actually listen to Dave and Mr. Esposito call the game so I can hear something, even if it's a delay. But the challenge comes through on Jack Roslovich's goal to put Winnipeg up 2-1. Honestly, nobody, and even Dave Mishkin, didn't know what the challenge was. We had no idea. It didn't really come out. They don't. The NHL doesn't instruct the officials to tell you. But it turns out that they felt there was a high stick. And I think it was Ehlers, they believe, did the high stick a little bit right before Roslovich's score. So the Cooper challenges, he loses the challenge. Verhaeghe has to go to the box. Cooper says, we wouldn't challenge that if we weren't 100%. So obviously you have to be 110% right to get that. So this is going to be twofold for you. And even your boy, your man crush Maroon, he said after, even the TV cameras didn't catch it because he was looking at the replays and he's like, they didn't catch it. But I'm telling you, there was a high stick there. Do you think it was a bold move to challenge that the high stick there? Or do you think like, no, Cooper's really only going to do it if he truly believes it? And I want to know your thoughts on the league's new rule about the whole if you lose a challenge, you lose a player for 2 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think in any sport, you know, as a coach, as a player, as somebody watching from the outside, how often do we see something and think, okay, you missed that call blatantly? It doesn't matter what we think, though. It matters both what the refs think and then what the review people actually looking at the play and calling it think, right? So you could be positive, as Cooper was and as Maroon was. Like, you could be positive, but that's from what you see. That doesn't mean that the people reviewing it are going to see the same thing. And unfortunately, you hope that those match up. But any fan, and I know we're specifically talking the Bolts and we're talking that game and that play in hockey here, but any fan of any sport at any point will tell you, yeah, refs, officials, people in the review box get stuff wrong all the time.
Yeah,
and unfortunately, that's just part of the nature of the beast. Sometimes, you know, things break your way. Sometimes they don't. I don't hate the fact that Cooper challenged it because, again, through his eyes, he was like, this is a no-brainer, right? This is 100% likelihood that it's going to go our way. And I think that, unfortunately, we talked about just before this how there were so many opportunities, whether it was hitting the post or just being in front of the net with no other player there. That's why you have to take care of those opportunities when they come your way so that you're not relying on hopefully the refs or the booth getting a call corrected to help sway things back towards your momentum and give you the momentum. So I don't dislike the fact that, you know, Cooper went for it. Obviously it cost them. As far as having I'm on the fence about having to give up a player if you get it wrong and you know, be on the PK and all that, because I do think that if you are going to go forth and challenge something, there has to be some kind of repercussion, you know, to if you get it wrong. Just like and I know timeouts in hockey are, they matter, but they don't matter as much maybe as some other sports timeouts do. Like, they're good to give your guys a rest, but they're not as critical. Even late in the game, like, not to say timeouts can't help you reset and drop a player, drop something for your guys, but they're just not quite as critical as some other sports are. So I don't know if just taking away a timeout like we've seen in other sports, if you lose a challenge, is effective enough. But it's hard because right now, based on that game, I hate it. I think it's a stupid rule, and I don't think that you should do it. But if I was watching, let's say, the Rangers and Devils play tomorrow night and something similar happened, I can't say that as an unbiased person watching. I wouldn't be like, well, yeah, they got the challenge wrong. Like, they got to pay the toll. So it's tough. It's one of those, I think, that's probably situationally based. And if it is a call like the one we're talking about where not only Cooper but players too on the ice and are saying that, like, there's no way that wasn't supposed to be the the high stick. Like, there's no way it wasn't supposed to end up that way. It hurts a little bit more because not only do they miss the call basically a second time, but then you're down a guy. So it hurts you in multiple ways. But I'm sure there's other examples, and there's plenty probably already from the season that I just don't know about where you're like, yeah, that was a bad challenge. Well, yeah, they deserve to lose a player for a little bit. So it's a hard one to answer, to be perfectly honest. But as far as that game, yeah, it was crap. They shouldn't have put him in the box.
And, you know, it did really come back to bite the Lightning because then they, you know, got their PK scoreless streak ended and they went down 3-1, which it was like, oh, gosh. And it was almost one of those feelings of energy that it was like, oh, I got a bad feeling about this Verhaeghe sitting in the box thing. And then, you know, next thing you know, they score. But then something else happened before the big rally, and I'm going to bring this up. We talked about Maroon a couple times. We're going to talk about Palat again. My dude got tripped. I don't care who you are or what you were watching. I saw him get tripped when he had the puck, and I thought maybe he should have gotten, you know, a call on that. I don't know if I'm being overly sensitive and, like, super biased on that. Did you see it as a trip or no? But, you know, afterwards they did rally. So, you know, one thing, it got the guys going, but I don't know. To me, it was clearly a trip.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was clearly a trip, too. Unfortunately, and again, I'll keep pointing back to this, because this is what I always tell people, no matter what time of year it is, playoffs, regular season, you take care of the opportunities that are presenting themselves when you get them, and you don't have to worry about those kind of calls.
Nice, yeah.
You know, if you score in the first couple periods when you have – great, not just good, but great opportunities in front of the Jets net, you're not worried about it tripping on Palat. You're not worried about a challenge going the other way. And we've seen the Lightning are so good that they can score at will in certain points. And obviously it happened to that game right after that. You know, they pile it on when you think it's all hope is lost. That's why you try not to worry about too much about one, like, little incident, whether it be a trip. And I do think it was blatant. And look, I'll be honest. Across all sports, I think NHL refs are the most inconsistent. I truly do feel that way, and I've pretty much felt that way my whole life. Like, that hasn't changed. I feel like they see things sometimes, and they call them, and then they completely will do it differently the next night. And I've got a couple of buddies that have, you know, ref hockey their whole life, and my whole friendship with them, and I try not to be too hard on them, but I'm like, what do you guys talk about where, like, it's different every night for what you're calling? And you know, obviously they go up for the rest, and they're like, no, we call it consistently. And I'm like, no, you don't. But unfortunately, that's why, again, though, regardless of any of it, you take care of the opportunities when they come your way, because the last thing you want to do is have to kick yourself because you lost a challenge, or, to your question, there was a trip that wasn't called that you probably would have had an opportunity to get on the power play and maybe tie things up there.
But they did come back. I mean, they did rally back.
They did.
And I thought, hey, I'm feeling pretty good about this now. Well, you know, these guys are, it was almost like, you know, the weird Palat, like he's, I don't know, maybe he's got like some weird juju juice or something. I don't know.
I said that. I was like, I don't know what it is specifically with him because being around him and seeing him, like, I don't think he's any more juice than the guy next to him. But for whatever reason, when he's around, he ups the level of play and there's just something about him. I don't want to say it's like the it factor and go cliche like that, but there's just something about the way that he talks to his teammates and he handles his business that people really feed into that. I wish I could give more of a flat answer on what that was. I just don't know. But there is something there. You're right. Like, there's some kind of juju or vibe or something that he brings that the other guys on the team honestly don't.
Yeah. All right, so last question here. The guys are in St. Louis. They're going to play the defending champions, who are playing very, very well right now. They're not having one of those sophomore slumps yet after the cup, which doesn't ever make sense when they say like that, you know, that like sophomore. Like, no, but they just won it. Like, it's technically just a few months ago. I don't know why they call
right.
it that. But how do the Lightning – Carmen, I'm going to ask you three questions to wrap it up here for us. How do they beat the Blues? Would this be a confidence booster game for them if they do beat the Blues in St. Louis? Because I think they struggle a little bit, if I'm not mistaken, historically in St. Louis. And three, does Maroon give them any insight on how to beat the team? Or, you know, is it kind of one of those, like Shattenkirk says, you have to close the book on the year before and move forward?
Yeah, I'll work my way backwards, starting with Maroon. Well, we're talking about his perfect hair, right? That's where we'll start. When it comes to him in going back to St. Louis, obviously always a cool story when you see a guy that's switched teams in the offseason get to go back to where he was just playing. That's always fun to see. I don't think he'll necessarily have as much insight onto how to beat the Blues in this game. I think it'll be more like, look, this is what made being in St. Louis special last year. This is how we can emulate that with our team this year in Tampa Bay. And almost more of like a, you know, what clicked, what worked? And I don't know if they're going to sing Kumbaya and sit around a fire, but I would imagine that on this road trip over there, you know, maybe it's at dinner and it's only a handful of the guys he's talking to. Maybe it's in the locker room right before the game starts. Maybe it's just after the game, win or lose, where he's like, look, being in St. Louis, like, this is why last year was magical. So I do think that there's something good that's going to come out of this game, regardless. That'll probably be from Maroon's mouth to the rest of the team and kind of making it real. Like, this is, I was here last year, we won the cup, and this is why. So I do think that'll be good as far as actual insight to the game. I don't know. I don't know if he'll be able to help him out too much. He might say, like, you know, a tip here and there, but for the most part, I expect it to be more of like a comparison season wise, not necessarily insight into the game. Working my way back, what was the second one? Just as far as,
is it a confidence booster if the Lightning win this?
Yeah, I think so. I think any time, especially coming off of a loss, right, like to the Jets, and we mentioned all the weird stuff that happened in that game. I think it's a confidence booster. Look, this team, I don't think there's any big enough games that they can win in the regular season that are going to matter much to them. And that's such a big mountain to climb, I think. And it's going to be there whether they win 6-7 in a row or whether they lose 6 or 7 in a row. I just don't see, based on last season, them getting too high or too low. I think they're trying to look for what works, and it's going to be on, you know, the leaders of that team, Stamkos, and I mentioned even Shattenkirk being vocal and Maroon having the cup experience from last year. Like, you're going to need these guys to just reel in, whether it's Kucherov that's, you know, maybe getting a little unfocused or unenthusiastic each night, or any of the other players. You just got to reel it in and make sure that you not only stay in the playoff hunt but alive and get into the playoffs. Then you can worry about all the other stuff, because it's just going to be so hard, whether it's beating the defending champs on their home ice, or, you know, being in Boston or being in Sweden on a overseas. Like, none of these things are really, I think, going to pop to these players too much. And unfortunately, that's what happens when you have the season that they had last year. And I know it's important to move on, and I'm sure that they know that too. But that's easy for us to say watching it. I mean, touching the ice, you know, night in and night out, and having that in the back of your head, if you were on the team last year, it's such a mental giant that, it would boost their confidence to beat the Blues, but it probably wouldn't last long as far as boosts go. And then as far as actually going to St. Louis and playing this team, it kind of goes back to what I was just saying about the confidence booster. There's no reason the Lightning can't go into St. Louis and win it. I always like when there is the day in between. So, it's nice that they didn't have to travel straight there and that they're not going to be too focused on what just happened against Winnipeg at Amalie. So I think that'll be helpful. I don't really think there's anything too crazy as far as insight into this game that would be any different than the last couple.
You know, kind of thinking about it, I don't know the answer to this, but will Pat Maroon get his Stanley Cup ring in St. Louis?
That would be funny.
Now, I don't think they're going to do it, you know, publicly in like a whole ceremony, but can you imagine him getting his ring and then walking into that dressing room and be like, guys, you all want one of these. Like, let's get one.
There was, I'm trying to think, not to take it back to baseball, but one of the Rays bullpen guys came from the Red Sox, and they gave him his ring last year at the Trop as he was a Ray, and it was pregame. So it's a similar situation, but that happens. That happens a lot where, like, when the former players in town after switching teams in the offseason, they're like, oh, yeah, here's your hardware. Here's your, you know, your bling, your ring. And I wouldn't be shocked. You know, I wouldn't be shocked. But I think it could actually work. It could be a galvanizing type thing. I hope they give it to him there. I hope they give it to him pregame. I hope they do it in front of the Lightning bench. I hope those guys all see it happen, because – those are the types of things, again, that can, like, wake their butts up and get them going. I mean, look, And I am the biggest Kucherov homer in Tampa Bay. Like, I'm going to be honest about it. Like, everyone knows. I don't hide anything. Like, he's, in my opinion, if not the best player in the league when it comes to scoring. And that's the type of thing that I think a guy like him would actually, like, wake up to and realize and see. And, like, those are the types of things that will get guys going. The younger guys that are, like, still trying to get rolling, you know, not to go back to another Russian, but Sergachev, like, any of these guys – you give Maroon the ring right in front of the bench. I'd love that because I think those are the kinds of things that can keep this team going through the year.
Definitely some added motivation for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Zach, we love having you on. I used to see you every day, and I miss your face, but we are so happy you joined us. Remind everybody where they can find you on social media and where they can hear you.
Yes, always love talking with y'all and talking hockey, and I was hoping last year it would last a little longer, but hopefully this season we have a better result when we get across into 2020. So you can follow me on Twitter, on Instagram as well, both the same name, at Zach on the mic. That's Z-A-C on the mic. And then right now during football season, I'm actually on 7 days a week, so Sunday through Sunday over at DAE. You can catch me in the mornings from 6 to 9 with Ronnie and T-Crass. Saturdays, Blobner and Martez, we do our show from 8 to noon. And then on Sundays, I do the fantasy fix, a little fantasy football in there from 10 to 11. So 7 days a week, but still fun to find time to get to Amelie and watch the Bolts hopefully kick some butt.
And talk to us, and we appreciate you.
Absolutely. Now, I appreciate y'all having me. It's always fun. And next time you guys talk to me, hopefully I'll have some of that Pat Maroon hair gel. You know?
Well, I don't know. Zach and I might have to end up fighting over Pat Maroon. It may happen this season.
We can share. I just want his hair product. Like, you guys can go to the movies. I'll take his hair products. It's all good. We all win.
Such a good dude.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break and come back with more Game Misconduct. Stick around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hey.
So we just wrapped up with our guest, Zach Blobner from WDAE. Always fun having on our buddy. And we talked about a little bit of everything. The last week of play versus the Rangers, which is the crazy game where I didn't even get there until like 7 minutes left in the first period. And I almost just turned around and went home. I'm like, how many goals am I going to see now? And I ended up seeing 5 goals in like 3 fights.
Yeah.
Still.
It was wild.
It was a wacky game, but it was really fun, you know, and I'm going to be one of those annoying people. It would have been really nice for somebody to get a hat trick because I could have used to get some Christmas gifts with the discount on hats. But it was so cool to see so many people score and so many people get on the assist list. It was just fun. It was just fun.
And I really do love it when everybody, when the wealth is being spread amongst the team.
Yeah.
And I really do think Maroon and Gord are becoming quite a little pair together. I see somebody, I have no idea who it is. I think it's just a little joke on Twitter, like Big Gord, Little Gord. And I mean, it gives me a chuckle every time I see it. But I really like the way the chemistry those two are developing.
Mm-hmm.
I really, we talked about it last week when the fourth line is scoring for the Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing something right, and they're a scary, scary team. And if we're gonna see, you know, a Pat Maroon start scoring goals the way he has. He's done pretty well for himself lately. I mean, it's getting kind of like we just need those W. We just need those points.
Yeah, and so it'll be an interesting road trip ahead. St. Louis, Chicago, and then back home at Anaheim for Anaheim game.
Uh-huh. See, that's good. It's good juju. Like, keep going. Be a plot. Give us the juju.
Be a plot. Be a superstar. Anyway, so we're super stoked.
I am a little concerned. Listen, I think we all should be mindful of the St. Louis Blues. I like to call it that. Mindful tonight of the Blues game. Also, Thursday night's game in Chicago could be a little bit of a TRAP game, if you ask me. Because, listen, the team continues to be not good. You have a day rest between a four-hour trip.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just one of those, like, ugh, I don't like it. And then you come back to face Anaheim, who I love when we face Anaheim. There are two teams in the West I love when we play. One is Anaheim, the second is San Jose. I love Anaheim just for their grit and their
big bodies.
Big bodies, and they're fast, and you know, they're getting up there in age and everything. But I'm really looking forward to Saturday's game. But I worry about that Blackhawk game. Because on paper, they should win, handedly.
Well, Ottawa, they should have won, too.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you dismissed the game, Dory. And you dismissed it.
So now I'm not doing that.
I see what you're doing. Now, reverse psychology.
I am reverse psychiatrist.
You're just doing reverse psychology.
Yeah, there you go.
Just leave it there. and so another thing that kind of... It didn't get overlooked, but kind of got overlooked because there were so many goals in the game. This happened in the Winnipeg game. Was the Steven Stamkos got goal 400.
Which is cool.
I was remiss that I wasn't there for the Steve Dumig dedication and, you know, celebrating a miracle. And then seeing Steven Stamkos score his 400th goal. I mean, that was... I'm sure it was pretty special. Can you kind of talk about the celebration and everything?
Was it
just like, yeah, it's another goal. Hey, I'm Steven.
It's Steve Stamkos. And he is...
I make goals in my sleep.
And he's a really humble guy. I mean, for being a kid, we've talked about it many times. Being a kid who had the spotlight on him since he was like 13, 14 years old.
Probably even sooner than that.
Cameras in his face. He's the next thing. Big thing. You know, he gets drafted here at 18 years old. We've literally seen this guy grow up in front of our face. He is so professional and so humble. And I think because of the dynamic of that game, it's a big deal that Steve, but he's just like, I just want to win this game.
Yeah.
And that's how he is.
It's not about the individual player. It's about the team.
Never with him. And there's a lot of guys on the Lightning that would do that. I'm just saying Steve Stamkos specifically, huge. 400 goals all with the Lightning. Think about that.
Yeah, smoke. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
This is the 2019 and 20 season. 400 goals with one team. That does not happen anymore.
And just think of how quickly he could have reached that landmark without the injuries.
Yeah.
We could have been talking about this 2 years earlier.
At least a season.
Season? Okay.
I mean, that tibia fibula, I don't know how the bones are put together in a body. But, you know, the big leg, the leg
the
snap.
Leg, yeah.
You know, that was rough.
I replay that in my head.
I know. I remember it.
It's terrible.
Just like,
And I had to be in Boston.
Yeah. So,
whatever.
But, yeah, I mean, definitely could have happened earlier. But you think of the opera when he got here.
Yeah. Remember seeing Stamkos?
Yeah. And what shape the team was in. You like to call him the Dark Ages.
Yeah, Barry Melrose was going to sit the kid.
Yeah.
And we see how...
Because he's not an NHL player.
We see how long that lasted and who ended up getting the boot.
I mean, you can't even say it without laughing.
Well, and
I mean,
you know what?
Ridiculous.
Even Barry Melrose makes fun of himself for doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's been on...
As he should.
Yeah, I see... You know, I've heard him on TV and on the radio and be like, yeah, well, that was... I was wrong there, you know, kind of thing. So at least he has a sense of humor about it. But, yeah, I mean, we've seen him grow up here, become a man, become a husband, become
a father,
yeah. And just be... A classy, classy player for the NHL, and I kind of feel like he's like ours. Like,
yeah,
you know,
that's
like
a great way to say it. Yeah,
like I don't have kids, but it feels like, you know, when my best friend's kids like get student of the month, and it's like, oh, I'm so proud of you. Like I had nothing to do with his growth and success, but you know, you just kind of take ownership of it, and it's something you're just really knowing all the stuff he went through.
I like that. You know what? I think you have a great point. I feel like out of every athlete that's ever played, I feel like Steve Stamkos belongs to all of Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Yeah. And a Hedman very close behind that too.
Yeah. But just the way he carries himself, the way he leads the team, the kind of player he is, the kind of community member he is. everything about him. And again, 18 years old, Hedman as well. Just these are just kids. And to see everything they've gone through to get where they are, I really do. I feel like those 400 goals were all of our 400 goals.
Yeah. Aw. And that's 400 times we heard stammer time.
So it's still fun.
It is. It is. It makes me happy. So congratulations, Steven Stamkos. Well-deserved and just fun to watch. I wonder how many of those were one-timers. Like, of the 400, how many were the one-timer, the Stamkos one-timer?
From the left circle there?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. My favorite. Oh,
so good. And it's like when he like, cocks back his stick, you almost can tell when it's going to go in.
It you can.
It's like, oh, it's that's a goner.
Yep.
It's in.
It's a goner.
Yep. It's so good. It's so, like, I would not want to be a goaltender on the other end of that puck going, no. I would just move out of the way. I'd be like, here, you can have it. Just take it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful shot. It really is one of the prettiest shots in all of hockey.
Anyway, we're very lucky that we get to watch that on a regular basis here at Amalie Arena. All right, so that's it for our show this week. Thank you to Zach Blobner from WDAE for joining us this week. And you can follow us on Twitter at Game Miz with a Z Conduct and on Facebook. And we'll catch you next week on Game Miz Conduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.